You may be wondering about my sermon title this morning, Making the Bed. Doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? But that's the underlying message. God comes to us in the ordinary things of our daily lives. I'm borrowing the thoughts of Tish Warren for this sermon. She's written a wonderful book called Liturgy of the Ordinary, Sacred Practices in Everyday Life. And one chapter of her book is about, well, is titled Making the Bed. She almost never made her bed. What was the point? It just got messed up every night anyway. Make the bed, unmake it. Make the bed, unmake it, over and over and over. What was the point? She became curious about how many people make their beds in the morning and how many don't. So she went online and did a very informal survey of friends on Facebook. And to her surprise, lots of people responded to her question. Some made it first thing in the morning zealously. Some never made their beds. Some thought it was preposterous to even consider making it, while others thought not making the bed was akin to not brushing your teeth or not paying your taxes, something meriting disgust. Many made their bed erratically, maybe 3 out of 5 days, or 7 days, I mean. And then surprisingly, there were a number of people who made their bed at night, just before getting into it. Tish decided one year to start making her bed every morning as a Lenten discipline. She was used to checking her phone every morning. First thing in the morning, she'd check her phone. She would check emails, Facebook, internet news, and then technology filled every moment of her day. Just before breakfast, she would scroll through the email, Facebook, Twitter. And then again an hour later, she would sometimes ignore her kids' call for milk and snacks while she skimmed an article. She would sneak in 5 minutes online as her children ate lunch. Often, when she returned from an errand, she would sit in the driveway with her car running, scrolling through the news on her cell phone. Then she would check her phone again just before bedtime. Does this sound familiar to any of you? Throughout the day, she fed on a near constant stream of news, entertainment, stimulation, likes, and retweets. She says, without realizing it, she had slowly built a habit, a steady resistance and dread to boredom. We have become addicted to our smartphones and our media, our technology. Maybe you've heard that that's a real thing. And people who do without for a while go through symptoms, very painful symptoms of withdrawal. She decided that she would make her bed and then sit on it for a time of prayer. Listen to her describe the process. After my makeshift sociological study on bed making, I decided that for Lent that year I'd exchange routines. I'd stop waking up with my phone, and instead I'd make the bed first thing. I also decided to spend the first few minutes after I made the bed sitting on my freshly made bed in silence. So I banished my smartphone from the bedroom. My new Lenten routine didn't make me wildly successful or cheerfully buoyant, as some had promised, but I began to notice very subtly that my day was imprinted differently. The first activity of my day, the first move I made, was not that of a consumer, but that of a co-laborer with God. Instead of going to a device for a morning fix of instant entertainment, I touched the tangible softness of our well-worn covers, tugged against wrinkled cotton, felt the hard wood beneath my bare feet. In the creation story, God entered chaos and made order and beauty. In making my bed, I reflected that creative act in the tiniest, most ordinary way. In my small chaos, I made small order. And then there was a little space, an ordered rectangle in my messy home. And the rectangle somehow carved out a small, ordered space in my messy, distracted mind. And I sat. At times, I'd read Scripture. Most often, I'd pray. I'd begin with the Lord's Prayer. Then I'd invite God into the day. I'd pray the words of the morning office. Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall declare your praise. I'd lay my worries, my hopes, my questions before God, spreading them out in his presence like stretched out sheets. I'd pray for my work and family, for decisions, for a meeting scheduled later in the day. But mostly I'd invite God into the day and just sit. Silent. Sort of listening. Sort of just sitting. But I sat expectantly. God made this day. He wrote it and named it and has a purpose in it. Today he is the maker and giver of all good things. I'd lap up the silence like mother's milk. Do you see what she was doing? She was forming a habit, a godly habit, of allowing the presence of the Lord to shape her in small ways and to bless her and fill her day. We are shaped by our habits and rituals. This world wants to shape us and conform us in ungodly ways, if we allow it to. Modern technology is wonderful, but it can also be a tool of the evil one to pull us away from what is truly important, to pull us away from our Lord and to shape us in ungodly ways. I heard a great sermon at Jonathan's church in Southern California. The preacher was talking about our smartphones and how damaging they can become. You've seen it, I'm sure. A couple is having a meal together in a restaurant, and instead of talking to each other, they are both looking at their cell phones. You see it all around us. Families not talking to each other, but engrossed in their cell phones and tablets. Mothers continually checking their cell phones instead of talking with their children. All around us, we see people glued to their smartphones and their tablets. The pastor urged us to be present to one another, instead of engrossed in social media. They gave us a sticker. It's a sticker with a bumblebee on it and a present. We put it on our smartphone to remind us to be present to one another, to lay our smartphones down, or to turn them off or silence them, and to actually engage with each other in listening and talking. That's really what love demands. And that's what our life in Jesus Christ is all about, our relationships of love. The same is true with our Lord. We must learn to listen to God's voice. And we do that through habits, the habits of prayer, of studying Scripture, and of worship. This is a godly habit that you are engaging in right now. And over the years, God blesses us as we develop those habits. Paul in Ephesians is urging us to put on the full armor of God. God doesn't put it on us. We have to do it. And we do it through these habits of the heart. When we pray, when we worship, when we study the Word of God, we allow God's truth, His righteousness, His peace, His faith, His salvation to fill us and to mold us into the people of God. He gives us those weapons that we need for the spiritual warfare of this world. Without them, we're helpless against the powers of the evil one. I like the way Eugene Peterson interprets today's scripture in his book called The Message. Listen to what God says through him. God is strong, and He wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so then when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's Word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. This is how Tish Warren sums up her morning experience. The point of my new morning practice was not to have a magazine cover bedroom, which in my house, with my domestic and decorating skills, is never going to happen. The point of exchanging my morning liturgy was to habituate myself to repetition, to the tangible, to the work before me, to train myself in this tiny way, to live with my eyes open to God's presence in this ordinary day. I had cultivated a habit from the first conscious moments of my day of being entertained, informed, and stimulated. My brain would dart quickly from stimulus to stimulus, unable to focus, unable to lie fallow. But making my bed and sitting in silence for just a few minutes reminded me that what is most important and significant in my day is not what is loudest, flashiest, or most entertaining. It is in the repetitive and the mundane that I begin to learn to love, to listen, to pay attention to God and to those around me. Spiritual habits and routines are essential, my friends. They may seem mundane and routine and maybe not even very important. But these are the ways that God fills us and forms us and blesses us. These are the ways that we take on the full armor of God to fight the power of the evil one. The rituals and habits of worship and prayer and reading the Word. These are the ways that the God of life and power fills us to overflowing with His Spirit and his life. Would you join me in prayer? Forgive us, Lord, for being formed by this world, for allowing ourselves to cultivate habits that are harmful to ourselves and to our relationships with others and our relationships with you. Forgive us for all the ways that we are distracted, entertained and stimulated by the things of this world. Help us, Lord, to be still, to be quiet in your presence, so that you can speak to us and fill us with your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to cultivate the habits of the heart that allow you to fill us with your truth, your righteousness, your faith, and your salvation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.